live and local, here for you. Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Late season football last night for South Dakota high schools for four divisions. Final night of the regular season. Still 1 week to go for three others. Huron Tigers hosted the Mitchell Colonels at Tiger Stadium last night. Huron, both teams probably needing a win to get into the playoffs. Huron does prevail with a second-half comeback, 29-26. Mitchell led 20-8 midway through the second quarter. Huron scored once before the end of the half, then took control of the game in the second half, held Mitchell's offense down, and the Tigers pulled out the three-point win. Colt McNeil had four touchdown passes, two to Mason Juergens, and one each to Anderson Porish and Landon Hulst. McNeil was 14 of 30 passing, 195 yards, four touchdowns. Thackeray Hansen, a big night running the ball, 28 carries for 175 yards. Huron now at 4-4, close out the regular season next Thursday hosting Brookings. Game we had on the air on KOKK, Hitchcock Tuller led most of the way and defeated Arlington 30-22. The win allows Hitchcock Tuller to host a first-round game next week in the 9B playoffs. Patriots' Aiden Frankenstein ran for two scores, one and 24 yards, threw a 56-yard touchdown pass to Blaze Binger. Binger scored on a 10-yard run as well. Running the ball, Frankenstein, 12 carries, 67 yards. Binger, 12 carries, 85 yards. The Patriots, 4-4. They will host Coleman Egan next Thursday in the first round of the 9B playoffs. Coleman Egan shut out Iroquois Lake Preston last night, 52-0. DeSmit doubled up Esteline Hendricks, 28-14. Woolsey Wessington edged Kimball White Lake in a tight game last night, 22-20. Warbirds finished the regular season 7-1. They'll host Lemon McIntosh next Thursday in the first round of the 9A playoffs. A battle of top five teams in 11B, Mount Vernon Plankinton nipped Woonsocket Wessington Springs Sanborn Central, 22-20. The Blackhawks scored with 2:19 left in the game, but MVP stopped the two-point conversion and held on for the win. Blackhawks' Colden Havlick was back in at quarterback, 14-26, 237 yards passing. Wagner defeated Miller Highmore Herald, 42-28. Sully Butte, 60. Sunshine Bible, 6. A look at 11 AA scores last night. Yankton, 28. T Area, 7. Watertown, 35. Sturgis, 24. Brookings, 42. Douglas, 7. Pier defeated Spearfish, 35-15. Triple A, Double A, Lincoln rolled over Aberdeen, 53-2. Triple A, Washington, 42. Roosevelt, 7. O'Gorman defeated Rapid City Stevens, 48-7. Jefferson, 39. Rapid City Central, 13. In a matchup of the top two teams in 11 AAA, Brandon Valley defeated Harrisburg 21-7. Look at the schedule for today. State soccer finals are today in Yankton. James Valley Christian going for their first ever sanctioned state soccer title. They're the number two seed in Class A. They'll play number one seed Vermilion 7 o'clock tonight. Final game of the day in Yankton. The day starts with AA girls, top seed Harrisburg, number two seed Rapid City Stevens. Then the AA boys championship, eight seed O'Gorman, two seed Sioux Falls Lincoln. At about 5 o'clock, Class A girls, two seed Groton, number one seed Sioux Falls Christian. And that'll be followed by the Vikings and Vermilion. Again, all those games in Yankton at Crane Youngworth. Volleyball, Iroquois Lake Preston and DeSmit are at the Dakota Valley Conference Tournament in Elkton. Miller and Redfield both hosting invites today as well. That's the rundown of our local schedule. The state high school football playoffs first round are set for the nine-man divisions. In 9A, Woolsey Wessington has the number four seed. They will host 13 Lemon McIntosh. The rest of 9A, top seed is Wall, hosting number 16, Chester. Number 9, Castlewood's at number 8, Alsetzer Hudson. Number 12, Dupree's at number 5, Harding County. Number 15, Timberlake's at second seed, Howard. 10 seed, Esteline Hendricks at number 7 seed, Ipswich. Number 14, Gayville Vaughn at number 3, Warner. And number 11 seed, Centerville, is at number 6 seed, Phillip. In Class 9B, number 7 seed, Hitchcock Tulare, will host number 10 seed, Coleman Egan. Sunshine Bible made the field with the number 15 seed. They will play at number 2 seed, Fulton. The rest of 9B, number 16, Jones County at top seed, Avon. Number 9, Oldham Ramona Rutland at number 8, Canastota. Number 13, Harriet Selby at number 4, Corsica Stickney. Number 12, Arlington at number 5, Sully Buttes. Number 14, Irene Wakanda at number 3, Del Rapids St. Mary. Number 11, Burke is at number 6 seed, Kadoka. 9AA, DeSmit made the field. They're the 12 seed. They'll be at number 5, Freeman, next Thursday. Stanley County, number 16, is at top seed, Parkston. Number 9, Kimball White Lake at number 8, Leola Frederick. Number 13, Bonham at number 4, Hill City. Number 15, Wabe Summit at number 2 seed, Hamlin. Number 10, Britton Hecla at number 7, Viberg Hurley. Number 14, Great Plains Lutheran visits number 3 seed, Elkton Lake Benton. Number 11 seed, Hanson is at number 6 seed, Trip Delmont Armor, Andy Central, Dakota Christian. Now, 11B playoffs will begin on Thursday as well, but for some reason, there's still one game to be played today, Webster at Clark Willow Lake. So I'm not sure if Webster, I know Clark Willow Lake will be in the playoff field, so they're going to have 5 days rest before that first round game. Not sure why they would choose to play on Saturday, but that's what the schedule shows. But so until that game is played, we'll have to wait on the 11B bracket. A quick note, Tiger Roar Booster Club is hosting a fundraiser at Taco John's on Monday. I believe it starts at 5 o'clock. Portion of all proceeds will be donated to Tiger Roar. So make it a night out. Go to Taco John's Monday night and help out Tiger Roar Booster Club. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Jory Wiff, head soccer coach for James Valley Christian, as they prepare to play in the championship game in Class A tonight. We'll talk with Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They've had a busy stretch of schedule here as they played 4 matches in 6 days and have the weekend off, and then just a 1-match week next week. And finish things off with Drew Stranhead, football coach for the Huron Tigers, coming off their big win over Mitchell last night. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show to start at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking James Valley Christian Boys Soccer with head coach Jory Wythe. The Vikings are in the state semifinals of Class A today. The number 2 seed, they're hosting number 3 Freeman Academy. And Vikings, a 3-1 win over St. Thomas More to open the playoffs this past Tuesday. And, Coach, first, going into St. Thomas More, you know, the guys had a long, I think, 10-game winning streak that was snapped right at the end of the regular season. But, obviously, you come into the postseason with confidence, and I think that kind of showed in the win over More on Tuesday.
Yeah, we didn't make too big a deal out of the Mitchell game, I guess. Still, it was good to play a tough game at a fast pace. Heading into the playoffs. And Tuesday, I thought we had a really quality win against a good team. We've been saying that there's a lot of parity in the division, and St. Thomas More is an awfully good number 7 seed. They had some seniors, some bigger players who are physical. We have some guys who don't necessarily love that style of play all the time. But we did put together one of our best performances all around. Sometimes goals come in bunches. They did for us at the end of the half. Gavin Waldner had a hat trick when we played them earlier, and so he got a lot of attention, but crossed a couple balls to the backside of the net that Isaac Fast got on the end of for beautiful finishes, and then Colby had a goal running out of his defensive back spot on an assist from Keegan Hood. And defensively, I thought we were as good as we have been all year. We were pretty organized. Did a better job contesting possession and winning out of the air, which we haven't always done well. And I should mention Jonah Niederbommer as our goalkeeper. He had 5 saves. Doesn't sound like a lot in that game, but one thing he's done really well for us this year is communicate. That's been a huge improvement for him and a big help to us defensively. And so they got one late, but I just thought it was a very good playoff-level soccer game.
You know what I liked about that? Just the amount of names you mentioned, they're all contributing. I know you said last week when we visited, you know, Gavin Waldner, a lot of things go through him, but the other teams know that. Other guys got to step up, and other guys did. And, you know, that's what makes the difference. A lot of weapons is better than one weapon.
Yeah, I think I said last year, made a mention of how many kids have been involved in the scoring attack for us, and I believe it's 10, but yeah, lots of ways that we can go about generating offense, and that's been just a huge improvement for us. And it's fun for people to watch, fun for the kids to play, knowing that they're dangerous that way, and everybody can be involved.
Well, now is Freeman Academy coming in, and I guess it's almost like poetic justice here. I know you mentioned last week, we'll kind of go explore this a little more. Freeman Academy, James Valley Christian, probably have played more times in high school soccer than any other two programs in the state. Of course, soccer has just been slowly growing. James Valley and Freeman Academy, probably one of the first schools to actually add soccer. I think you said it dates back to about 1980 for JVC.
Yeah, I believe we first played them in 1979, and so the longest running rivalry, we believe, in South Dakota. And so it's we get them the third time around, which is difficult, but no secrets there. A lot of history. I'm trying to find here. I have it looked up. They've played around about 80 times. Is what I have written down. So a lot of history there. Nathan Epp is their coach. He coached there for many years. When I first started, took a break a little longer than the one that I did, but now he's back also. So someone said when I came back around for my second go-around that I was the new old guy. So I guess you could say in this case is there's two new old guys matching up again on Saturday, as we did for many years a long time ago.
Can talk with Jory Whiff. He's head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian. Vikings hosting Freeman Academy coming up at noon today. Semifinals for a trip to the state finals. And I guess kind of look at it then. If there's a program you know about as well as you know your own, is probably Freeman Academy. You played them twice. I think a 3-1 win and a 5-1 win. They're only about 10 days apart or something like that. But just, you know, the familiarity for both programs probably makes it kind of a interesting matchup.
Yeah, like I said, no secrets. We won 3-1 in Freeman. Noah Fast, Isaac Whiff, and Skylar Theobar scored that day. They actually outshot us in that particular game. We won the second meeting here at home 5-1. That game, I felt like we controlled. We outshot them about 24-8. Had five different players score that day. Isaac Fast, Noah Fast, Carson Doris, Keegan Hood, and Gavin all scored that day. But it's always easier to play ahead, and so it's important to get off to a good start and control some of their dangerous players as well. They have good team speed. They've scored 50 goals on the season, allowed 35. We've scored 55, allowed 43. So, yeah, it'll be well-matched. I expect it to be close and hard-fought.
Well, you mentioned those stats there about the season-long, and really that's a little skewed. I don't know about Freeman Academy, but for you, you know, you throw the Sioux Falls Christian match out of there that you opened the season with, and that goals for, goals against stat becomes all that much more impressive.
Yeah, the schedules aren't the same, for sure, between the two teams. But it does, I think, still illustrate that they're dangerous. They've got a freshman who scored 25 of their 50 goals, and so he's super dangerous. We've matched up well because we have good speed at our defensive positions also. Isaac Whiff, of course, at sweeper. We've mentioned him as being a fast, one of our more physical players. It's his second year playing sweeper, a little better understanding of that position. Luke Miller and Monty Gross have become the wing defenders over the course of the season. Both of them run really well also. Not a lot of experience there. This is only Luke's second year, I believe, playing soccer. Monty hasn't played in a little while, but came back out this year. And they've just improved a ton over the course of the season. And then we ask our midfield wings to help us out too. And several guys have played at those positions. We rotate those a little bit more than the others. It can be pretty demanding what they're asked to do. Cole Anderson has also scored 4 goals. Carson Doris, 3. Jonah Miller, 1. Javen Van Cheryl and Keegan Lowen get some work there also. So we think we match up pretty well. But, yeah, likely to be difficult.
And just wrap it up with this. It doesn't matter what the sport is. It just always seems to me that semifinal is such a tough match to prepare for, to get ready for. Playing a championship is so much easier because a lot of the pressure is off. You can let it all out. So, you know, this is where your leadership comes in. You know, kids, they know what's at hand, but can you be relaxed? Can you play your regular match and be ready to go at noon?
Yeah, we'll have a little breakfast in the morning and just keep emphasizing what we have, trying to stay on a pretty even keel. But, yeah, can you play fast? Can you play with some intensity and still be disciplined, still be calm on the ball, and just make the next play because it's not going to go perfectly probably.
Jory Whiff, head coach of James Valley Christian Boys Soccer, the Vikings hosting Freeman Academy, semifinal of the Class A playoffs. Winner gets to play for the championship next Saturday. I believe the final's down in Yankton this year. More to come, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being.
The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We continue Dakota Sports Saturday talking here on Tiger Volleyball. Head coach Josh Lane, been a busy 8 days for the Tigers. A split last weekend, Friday and Saturday, with Rapid City Stevens, Rapid City Central. Then losses on the road Tuesday to Roosevelt and home Thursday to Jefferson. And coach, go back to last weekend first. You know, you always want to get the sweep out there. But to get the split out west, pretty good, especially the way they bounced back on Saturday.
We actually got off the bus on Friday night against a pretty solid Stevens team and played pretty well. Five sets, 15-12 loss in set five, which, you know, you could have, should have, would have. There were some couple points in there. I felt like in the earlier sets we probably could have got back. But overall, we weren't displeased with our performance. Can't settle on that loss on the stat sheet, but we'll take it. Hilton, we've got preliminary numbers that Hilton is at least tied the school record for digs in a match with her big sister, which happened on Friday night against Stevens. And Stevens did a great job just barreling the ball as hard as they could right at her. And Hilton was the reason we stayed in that match. I'll tell you, both against Stevens and Central, our middles got as many opportunities as our outside, which has been unheard of since the first half of the season. So if Jensi can continue to deal the ball, and it's not all on Jensi, right? We got to get the ball to her in tempo, in system, if you will, in front of that 10-foot line. And we've just continued to find ways to get Sam and Chloe involved. And when that happens, good things happen.
Tuesday night, the Tigers traveled to Sioux Falls to play Roosevelt. Tigers got off to a good start, won the first set, led most of the way in that as well, winning at 25-23, were competitive in sets two and three, but Roosevelt got the top. Then the wheels kind of fell off there in the fourth set as Roosevelt got on a roll and defeated the Tigers there by a score of 25-11 to win the match in four sets. Talked to Coach Lean after that match, and he has said, yeah, you know, you could see, you know, with the Rapid City trip the previous weekend and more, and just the way Roosevelt attacked, yeah, the kids, once they kind of hit that wall in the fourth set, it kind of showed.
You know, you're right. When I think about set four, when the gas tank empties, because we have just got to work so hard to stay in the match, and when the tank's out of gas, you could tell there in set four it kind of got away from us, and it was everything we could to do. We needed to try to stay in. We just didn't have enough fuel left. So,
when things were going well, especially in that first set, ball was distributed around. We had good showings from Samantha McMoredeth, Aurora Dreyer, and Addie Knight. Addie Knight had three aces in that first set as well. You know, and after that, I think we only had two aces the rest of the match. But, you know, we had basically the team we want to see in that first set.
We did. And, of course, Roosevelt was uncharacteristically errored in that first set, too. They really struggled to hit the ball in bounds. They were trying to be too fancy. They were playing a little bit tight. Of course, I think they probably didn't think the score was going to be in our favor early, and as they tightened up a little bit and they really struggled, and we weren't able to just keep that pressure on in set two and set three to force those errors out of them. So they gave us some points early. We were able to continue to capitalize on it, but at the end of the day, we did fine. I look at Chloe. She got 11 sets and she made six kills with zero errors. She hit 545. You got Addie Knight, as you mentioned earlier, hit 100 and or 160 from the outside pin, which is impressive considering, you know, they get a lot of the junk balls. But it's like a broken record here, right? We had two hitters hit negative. Two of our starters hit negative, and it's hard to win when that happens. And we didn't win the ace battle. I think we got out aced by one. So both of those strikes against us, the fact that we were there in the early sets, I was pleased with. But we just got to figure out how to continue to provide that effort through a five-setter, right? And we're not there yet. But Sioux Falls Roosevelt's a good team. They're gonna play deep into this postseason, and so it was a good showing. But you know, we need kids to play on all cylinders to compete with a team like this.
Thursday night, Sioux Falls Jefferson came in as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Night. Big crowd, a lot of pink shirts there. Sioux Falls Jefferson, just one loss on the season, ranked number two. They kind of flexed their muscle as they got the three-set sweep. And talked to Coach after that match, too, about the performance there, and really saw a lot of good things. Had Jefferson forced into a few errors, maybe a little uncharacteristic, but bottom line is, Coach, that's just a really good volleyball team that we saw Thursday night in Sioux Falls Jefferson.
Yeah, it really is a good volleyball team. I think we knew it would be an uphill battle, you know, and it turns out they were even bigger and faster in person than they were on the film. And so we did a good job. I talked pregame. You know, we're going to try to make some adjustments. I think once the girls settled in and took that deep breath and realized how fast the pace was going to be, we really started getting to where we needed to be. We made some my assistant staff was working their tail off trying to make sure we had kids in the right spot. I thought they made some great defensive adjustments. You know, Chloe Carr comes out, you know, right after she's hitting 200, and she's not impacting the game yet, but she's about to. She's got to come off. You know, Alexis goes in, does a nice job. Sam picks up some extra duty there, trying to give her some extra swings. And I just thought we did a good job trying to play fast. That energy was solid. If I'm being appropriate as a coach, I would tell you that I think we left some points on the floor. Just silliness, just accidental errors and trying to do too much sometimes. And we weren't getting the touch calls off the high hands, and maybe at times we were missing them. Maybe at times they weren't caught. But we just kept swinging at it anyway. We tried to make some adjustments and really couldn't. But credit to Jefferson, because they pushed us into most of those chaotic moments in the first place. So,
you know, and that's the thing. You mentioned the mistakes, and you just can't afford that against a team like this, because they're going to pounce on that. You need to force them into the mistakes. And I thought at times they did have a couple of hitting errors at times. But bottom line is, you know, you almost have to be perfect.
You absolutely do have to be perfect, and we were not there. You know, and I mentioned Chloe earlier, too, and I don't want to nag on this necessarily, but as her blocking has come around the last week, last 7 to 10 days, and, you know, when she comes out of the lineup, we lose a little bit of that confidence as well, because she was just starting to get in rhythm from a blocking perspective. And then against a team like Jefferson, you got to have hands over the net all the time. And so that was a little bit unfortunate. I thought because of some of those blocking benefits we had early, they started trying to swing high hands. Turns out we don't quite jump as high, so they were missing our hands too. So they made those same mistakes we were making. We just weren't able to kind of capitalize on them in tough moments. But I'll tell you, it was really nice to give Hilton her 1,000th dig. You know, that's a really big deal. You know, and if she finishes off this year strong and has a great senior campaign, maybe we'll make her another poster next year at 2,000 if there's any luck with that. But at the end of the day, I thought she played really well. She made some great adjustments. And, you know, we expect her against a team like this to just cover far too much court. And she's covering for teammates who aren't quite getting to the ball. And she did a great job just trying to keep her own, you know. Man, she stays positive. She's our voice out there on the floor, and I just can't express enough, you know, how much we really try to put her in the line of fire to make sure we give ourselves the best chance.
Just kind of expand on that, 1,000 digs, and really she kind of took the full-time role just at the beginning of last season, so just over a season and a half, she's at a 1,000. You think it was actually Tuesday night against Roosevelt. Kind of hard to keep up sometimes on that.
It is hard, and, you know, you want to make sure that you get it right, as a coach. You let someone else stat the game, and then you stat it live, and then you relook at it and make sure. And you know, I think it was last time you and I had talked, what was it, Tuesday, we thought maybe Hilton had broken the school record for digs in a match. The next look at it, we're going to take one more glance with one more set of eyes, but we believe she's tied the school record. That was in Stevens, Rapid City Stevens last Friday night, where we believe she had 49 digs in that five-set thriller. And she really is the kid. I mean, not only do we expect her to play volleyball, we expect her to lead as well. And so we wouldn't even be as competitive as we are, not nearly, without her. And on Tuesday next week, when we start getting on the bus heading to Pierce, she's going to have another big night, because without her, we'll be in big trouble.
You know, just thinking, what's that, maybe 4,000, 5,000 digs in among the Hines sisters now? That'd be interesting to find.
So, now my wheels are spinning, right? It got me on live here, and I'm trying to figure out that, you know, Hilton's got 1,000. Hampton went over 1,000. And, of course, you know, we all know Haven hit 3,000.
So that's 5,000.
So we are above 5,000 right now between those sisters. And the amount of floor, boy, that'd be crazy to think about. The amount of floor that those three sisters have covered in the, what, decade they've been playing in the back row at Huron, here at the arena, is just incredible to think about. So we're blessed to have them. And to boot, you know, at the end of the day, they're good volleyball players, they're hardworking kids, and they're good kids. And so they're the kind of kids you build programs around. So Hilton is more than deserving. I'm hoping I make another one of those posters sometime two-thirds of the way through next season with another 1,000 tacked on.
So we look ahead, weekend off, and then a one-match week next week. I think everybody's ready for that. Go to Pier 1 in 4 over Yankton, and a lot of familiarity there as we just played them 2 weeks ago.
Yep, pulled the scouting report out to see what I had and to see if we could get our hands on any film more recent. And so that's already, you know, this coaching gig, you get it, right? So we're going to get after that. So that we've got a good practice plan ready. Because, again, what we talked about in the locker room is we feel like we leave points on the floor because we make some errors, we make some mistakes, we're not in the right spot defensively. Those same mistakes on Tuesday is probably going to have a humongous impact on the outcome, and so we've got to shore those up. And that's what we'll be thinking about when we get on the bus on Tuesday.
And finally, Breast Cancer Awareness Night, always a special night for the girls with the rose ceremony, the big crowd, all the pink. Raised a lot of money for the We Got You Covered program between the T-shirt sales and the silent auction. And it's just been a great partnership between Huron Tiger Volleyball and HRMC Foundation.
100%. And the girls are excited every year to fit all three of these extra things on our plates. The silent auction, they were all over town the last 10 days trying to get silent auction items from local businesses. And local businesses deserve all of the praise for their donations, for their everything they're doing to be a part of this HRMC Foundation. Once you get through the silent auction, you talk about, you know, Sun Gold and HRMC Foundation with the T-shirts, and there, I don't know what the final number was. I think our goal is to get over 400 T-shirts sold by the looks of the arena. We were there, so that's awesome. And then, of course, honoring the women who have. Who are battling, who have lost the battle, and who have survived the battle of breast cancer. 45 women, I think, were honored in one way or another with that rose dedication ceremony. And so all of those three things, the girls are, and the meaning isn't lost on them, right? They understand it affects our community, impacts our families, and it's a big deal to them to stay healthy, to try all of those things. And so I'm really proud of this group. To come and play hard against a really good Jefferson team. Like I said on Tuesday, sometimes it's about more than volleyball.
And last I heard, about $2,600 raised through the silent auction. Probably get a total for everything, including the T-shirt sales, sometime next week. But another outstanding Breast Cancer Awareness Night, providing local money for the We Got You Covered program at Huron Regional Medical Center. Tiger Volleyball off this weekend. They go to Pier Tuesday and then get a week off. I think after the hectic schedule here in the month of October, everybody in that program will be ready to get a little time to step back, have a week off between matches, but off to Pier first next Tuesday, 6:40 pre-match Tuesday on Tiger. We'll talk here on Tiger Football to wrap things up on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being.
The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back wrapping things up on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Drew Strand, head coach of Huron Tiger football. A tight game, as it always is, with the Mitchell Colonels last night. Come from behind effort, Huron holds on for a 29-26 win, even the record at 4-4 on the season, getting set to wrap up the regular season next Thursday with Brookings. And coach, I thought to start the game, Mitchell came out with a purpose. I thought we maybe came out a little flat or something, taking nothing away from Mitchell's effort, but you know, we I don't know what you said at halftime, but we looked like a little different team, especially defensively in the second half.
Yep. I mean, you know, our kids came off of that win against Aberdeen the week before and just kind of went into Mitchell, and I think, you know, we kind of got a little outside of, you know, who we are and what we represent and what we stand for right here and right away out the gates, you know, and we kind of were a little sluggish thinking, you know, these guys weren't going to be as good as they were, and they came out, and I knew exactly, you know, that number 20 was going to run the ball, and he's a hard kid and hard worker, and those guys, you know, they've gone through a lot with their season, and you know, their record sure doesn't show exactly, you know, how good they can be and how good they play. They've had a lot of tough teams this season, but then our guys, you know, after they kind of figured it out and we kind of got them all on the same page, we started to click again like our normal team usually does, and it was nice to see them guys, you know, kind of have to work back and kind of get rid of that wrinkle instead of, you know, kind of get in that and set that in that feeling that they're used to of winning all the time. And, you know, we kind of had to refocus and re-go back to the things that we're taught.
You know, and second half, we did discover, and we saw a little bit of it in the second quarter as well. We could run the ball. We could run the ball effectively, and ground control, especially in the second half, but really for the entire game, we have a huge time of possession advantage. And, you know, we weren't doing anything fancy a lot of time, mainly with Thackeray Hansen, a lot of off tackle to the right. A few times we'd flip it over to the left, but, you know, we just kind of saw something there. Lyman blocked it well, usually had a lead blocker going in there too, and, you know, it was just a very effective running game.
Yep, and I mean, that's kind of what we told these guys, you know, kind of going into it. You know, you got Blake and Andy out there, so you got to kind of play. You got to keep your safeties out of the box, you know, just with those guys there and the weapons that we have to throw the ball. So, you know, it's really nice when we can get our run game going and we figured out ways to do that, you know, whether it's bringing two tight ends in or what we have to do to get them widened out, you know, to give lanes for our running backs. And I thought they did a fantastic job. And Thackeray, I mean, he runs hard and that's what we do. And, you know, our lineman, I thought, was a fantastic job. And it's really cool when your young lineman, you know, can have that much success in blocking and getting our run game going for us.
You know, and passing the ball, we were efficient. Did have the one interception there right at the end of the first half, but Colt McNeil, another four touchdown passes, and a few other guys getting involved, and I think that kind of goes back. You mentioned Anderson Porish, Blake Elwine. They just are going to get the attention. Well, there's Mason Juergens catching a pair of touchdown passes, and Landon Holst caught the last one, which we had a lot of discussion before you confirmed it was Landon, but, you know, that just shows we have the other weapons there available, and if you're going to concentrate on the two tall guys, hey, we got other guys that can catch the ball.
Yep. I mean, offensively, skill wise, we got a lot of guys, you know, that are able to make plays for us, and it's just about finding the ways to get those guys in positions to have success. And I've always told Blake and Andy all year long, you know, sometimes, you know, you're going to have a game and you're going to go off and it's going to be awesome, and then some games, you know, you're just going to be the decoy, and that's going to be just as good for your teammates and you guys. And so make sure that you guys just all celebrate together and keep that and remember that, because even Kobe Hofer, you know, on those couple that Mason had, we motioned him over, you know, to get that weird look that we had, and all of a sudden they only had one safety to cover both of ours, so we put him in two directions. And, you know, last night it happened to be Mason being wide open for the two passes, which benefited us and helped us out a lot. And, you know, so those guys just do a fantastic job out there skill-wise of whoever gets the ball, they're going to continue to cheer for each other, and we got to keep that going and just stay together as a group.
You know, and mentioned Landon Host, you're really starting to move him around a lot in the formations, especially now with Thackeray emerging there where he can handle a lot of the running back duties. And, you know, sometimes I'm not sure Landon knows where he's supposed to be. Bottom line is, you know, it just gives so many different looks. And, you know, I think we saw that on the last touchdown.
Yep. I mean, still working him out of moving him around and understanding what he's got to do when he lines up out there. But he did a good job, you know, only having short notice to kind of figure that out. And he's used to just, you know, he started at running back going there 100% all year with Thackeray being injured. And now it's like, oh, okay, now I got to move you here and move you around. And there's times, you know, we got confused when we wanted him at running back or him at A and Bubba in the backfield or Bubba at A. So there's a lot of times, you know, we ask these guys to do a lot of work and they're going to get confused. And we just got to eat those and just continue to move on from those. I thought they did a fantastic job of overcoming the adversity of having guys out and being able to move around last night and, you know, found success within what we were trying to do.
And again, we mentioned the O-line. You know, they had to do some shuffling around. I think Nolan Staley had to move in at center there in the second half. He started cramping up. We were getting a little bit far down there on the depth chart again, kind of like cornerback last week up in Aberdeen. But again, you know, young kids just took advantage of the opportunity.
Yep. I mean, it's always nice to see, you know, you put a young kid in and you see a lot of the other guys around them just kind of take them under their wings and communicate with them. So that's been helpful that, you know, we have more guys on our team now, and all the young guys, they understand what we're trying to do and they understand the plays that we call. So they're able to relay that and be the player coach out on the field and help each other out and get each other in the right spots. And, you know, whoever went in, I know we flipped center a couple times there and had to move guys around to overcome that. And just like I've said, I mean, I think our team does a fantastic job of when it's called on them and they step in the game, they kind of step in and they kind of all figure it out and they all work together to get the job done.
You know, all-around game from Mason Juergens. We mentioned he had the two touchdown catches. He also had one of the couple of interceptions there late in the game, and I guess something you almost forget about because of when it happened. But, you know, he's the holder for extra points, and bad snap. He picked it up and ran it in for a two-point conversion. We ended up with two two-point conversions last night. But, Mason, you can just pretty much put him anywhere. He actually came up through the system as a quarterback, but, you know, he's now tight end. He's been starting there in the defensive backfield or linebacker beginning last year with his sophomore year, and kind of showed off that versatility last night.
Yep, I mean, definitely a utility player for us, holds the snaps on those extra points. And, you know, hard to believe, but we practice that every week, you know, about every practice, every time we go field goal, we always have that call in case something like that happens, just to be prepared for it. And, you know, it happened to work out, and our guys didn't freak out in the situation. They felt comfortable and understood what he could do and, you know, where we had it and could be open and things like that, you know, to help work out and help our guys move around. And he did a fantastic job of filling wherever he could, and it was nice for him finally on offense now. I know that week Cooper got in and got two touchdown passes. I kind of pulled Mason out there to give him a break here and there and things like that. So it's nice to see him have success and just kind of be able to move the ball around and give other guys success where it was needed too. And all these guys that continue to work hard and now are finally just seeing it pay off in the games on Friday nights.
You know, and defensively, I think we kind of got a little wide-eyed there because we had played so well the previous three games in the first half and actually the first quarter, those two long touchdown runs. But after halftime, the defense clamped things back down again, kind of took care of business. Of course, the offense helped there too. The second half, we had double time of possession, 16 minutes to 8 minutes. So, you know, I was kind of looking at the tackle saying, boy, you know, we didn't have as many tackles as usual, especially out of like, say, Colby Hofer, Oakley Anderson. And I got to thinking, well, you know, they didn't have a lot of opportunities for tackles, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when our offense can sit on the field, and I think our young guys are doing a fantastic job, and we're figuring out how to put together drives, you know, and control the clock and move the ball down the field. Now we just got to finish, and we got to figure out how to get it in the end zone for points for our team. But, you know, overall, offensively, I think they're progressing really well, and they're doing a fantastic job of understanding and continuing to maintain a drive and control the clock. Because, I mean, I hear it from my D coordinator all the time, the best way, best defense is keeping the offense on the field, you know, and not giving the other team the ball. So I thought we did a pretty good job of that in the second half, of controlling it and coming up with some good play calls and moving the ball around just to kind of eat that clock, as well as just move the ball down the field and give us an opportunity to score and put up points.
So here we go. We sit 4-4. senior night next Thursday to wrap up the regular season with Brookings. Brookings, of course, they're looking at getting a home field for the playoffs. We feel we're in the playoffs, just a matter of what seed. If we get a win over Brookings, I'm just listening to Coach DeBoer, we get a win over Brookings and one or two things happen, we could actually host. Bottom line is, we'll worry about Brookings. We want to play our best there and then get ready for the playoffs wherever we may go.
Yep, I mean, it's tough to tell. I mean, with the system we use here for rankings and stuff, everything shuffles around, you know, and everybody's kind of hit and miss here, and everybody's kind of in the mix. So there's a lot of different scenarios that you could draw up and all the points that affect other teams and other records and everything like that. So I'm just focused on our guys and cleaning up what we got to do to be successful and, you know, go after Brookings. And we're still out here to prove ourselves and what Huron Tiger football is going to be, you know, from each week, every week we play, and for the future here that we're moving forward and understanding that, you know, we're creating a culture here and these kids are a reflection of that and understanding what we're supposed to do and how to do that successful.
And wrap it up here because I know you want to get out the door. Kids coming in early today because, hey, pheasant hunting opener. It sounds like coach isn't taking advantage, but the kids sure want to.
Yep, I mean, the coaches always love it, and it's always a hassle. So we'll get them in early. You know, I negotiated with them. I said, you guys beat Mitchell. We'll negotiate the time, and you guys can get out. So, you know, it's just a good way to give our kids a break and let them go relax and have fun. And I know it's a huge deal in South Dakota, and Huron's big for it. So you know what? I hope, you know,
hey, that's why you're in. You told me that's why you're here in South Dakota is because of pheasant hunting.
Yep, I did come here for the hunting part. You know, so, you know, let these kids just kind of relax, get them in early, watch some film, go over our stuff, and just fix what we need to fix and have those discussions, and then let them kind of go out and get a relax and have some fun for once and kind of leave everything at the door until on Monday when we come in ready to rock.
Here in Tiger football coach Drew Strand, the Tigers, a 29-26 win over the Mitchell Colonels last night. Record at 4-4 as of this morning. Huron still the number 8 seed, but still one game to go, so still could see some changes there, especially if they can pick up a win over Brookings on Thursday. Again, remember, all football next week, playoffs in four classes, regular season finale in the other three. Football is all next Thursday. And for Huron and Brookings, 7 o'clock kickoff at Tiger Stadium next Thursday night. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.